With a song in my heart, the story of men and their music, of composers who really had a song in their heart.
Everything is peaches down in Georgia. What a peach of a climb. What a peach of a time. Believe me, paradise is waiting down there for you. I've got a peach of a ma, a peach of a pa. And oh, what a peach of a couple they are. There's a preacher preaches down in Georgia. Always ready to say, will you love and obey? I'll bet you'll pick yourself a peach of a wife to settle down to a peach of a life. Everything is peaches down in Georgia.
There's a preacher preaching down in Georgia. Always ready to say, will you love and obey?
I'll bet you pick yourself a peach of a wife and settle down to a peach of a life. Everything is peaches down in Georgia.
That song was a hit in 1919. Its composer, a young man named Milton Ager. It was his first number, and come to think of it, there's quite a story back of it. Young Ager had just been discharged from the army after the end of World War I. He was a pretty good pianist and got himself a job in Tin Pan Alley, demonstrating a publisher's hit tune. One morning, his chief sent for him.
Milton.
You sent for me, sir?
Correct. I wanted to let you know that we've got a mighty important singing star coming to see us this morning. And I want to make sure that when you play our new songs over to him, you give him the works.
I'll do my best, sir.
I know you will, son. But if you can embellish them and give them that extra bit of color that your piano playing can give them, well, so much the better. Here are the manuscripts. Have a good look at them before our star arrives.
He sounds like a pretty important star.
I'll say he is. The greatest creator of hit songs in the whole of the USA.
You don't mean... You can't...
Our appointment is with Al Jolson.
Al Jolson. Gee, play melodies for that man is something, but something.
You're telling me. Go to it, Milton. And when you play for him, give him everything you've got.
But there was a strange sequel to this incident. For after young Ager had played over his firm's best numbers for Jolson, the star was not impressed with any of them. In fact, he said, although there were undoubtedly some good songs among them, they were simply not for him. It was then that young Ager astonished both his employer and also himself when he said,
excuse me, Mr. Jolson, but with the chief's permission, I've got a number of my own you might like to hear.
Oh, but Milton, this is not entirely according to schedule.
Never mind, Ed. I'm here to listen to new songs. If young Ager's got a number, well, I might as well hear it. Go ahead, son.
Thanks, Mr. Jolson. I hope you like it.
And it was then one of those million-to-one shots came off. For the song he played to the star was the number we opened this session with, Everything is Peaches Down in Georgia. What's more, Jolson took an instant liking to it, sang it, and commenced a career for young Ager that was to take him to the very peak of his profession. Other hits were to follow. One cute and well-remembered song being his number called Freckles.
Freckles was his name. He always used to get the blame for every broken window pane. Oh, how they'd yank him and they'd spank him. How he'd tease the girls when in school he'd pull their curls. His marks were much lower than the kids, much slower. His marks were lower than the old bean blower. People used to coax young Freckles not to play his jokes. The way he'd tease the village folks, it was a shame. And when the cat had kittens up in the hay, one was black and seven were gray. Everybody cried, Freckles, he always got the blame. Used to coax young Freckles not to play his jokes, because, you know, the way he teased the village folks, it was just a shame. And when that cat had kittens up in the hay, one was black and seven were gray. Everybody cried, Freckles, he always got the blame.
Come to think of it, I've got way ahead of myself with the story of Milton Ager, for, after all, I haven't told you of his early life. Let's see. He was born in Chicago in the year 1893. And whilst he studied piano, he had to supplement his pocket by... Maybe Milton had better tell you this bit himself.
Life wasn't so easy in those days. To get a bit of pocket money, I had to do all sorts of stunts.
And give us a line on him, Mill.
Yes, they weren't very colorful. Lots of other kids did the same thing.
What exactly were they?
Oh, I sold peanuts at the ball games, ran errands, sold newspapers, lots of things like that.
More power to you. Anything else?
Yes. Before the war, I got a position as pianist in the firm of Watterson, Berlin, and Snyder at their Chicago office.
Mighty good experience, I guess.
Invaluable. I had the opportunity of plugging Irving Berlin's songs when he was writing almost a hit a week.
Say, that is something.
Yes. And it eventually led me to securing a job as piano accompanist to Gene Green, who in those times was known as the Emperor of Ragtime.
Gene Green? Why, he headlined not only in the USA, but in England and Australia as well.
That's right. But I never traveled with him outside the USA. When he went abroad, that great pianist of other days, Charlie Strait, took over my job. The war then came along, and I joined up.
That brings us to the year 1921, when Ager wrote another smash hit for us. That popular song of the jazz era we knew as I'm Nobody's Baby.
You see, I'm nobody's baby. I wonder.
truly established by this time, Milton became a very busy songwriter. He was a sound musician and at various times teamed up with many lyric writers. He also occasionally jotted down numbers on manuscript for Irving Berlin and Walter Donaldson, two of the greatest hit writers of all time.
What do you mean exactly when you say he jotted down numbers for those composers?
To describe it correctly, I'd say he transcribed their melodies onto manuscript. Berlin and Donaldson were not musicians. They were purely and simply composers. And let's get this right. To create melodies, it's not necessary to be a crack musician. Composers are born. The ace ones with a definite touch of genius. Musicians? By study and theoretical knowledge, they acquire the art that we know as the demonstration of music. But the two forms are poles apart. Virtuosos in either sphere are born, not made. But I digress. To get back to Milton Ager, I recall that about 1922, he gave us that charming little number we knew as In the Spring, a Young Man Fancy. He based it on a music box accompaniment. To remind you,
in a quaint old-fashioned store, relics of the days of yore, curios and old-time cloth, hide a China music box. In a dainty patterned dress, there's a Dresden shepherdess.
With a shepherd by the side, on his little China bride. When the music starts to play, I can almost hear him.
In the spring, a young man's fancy lightly was to love. Poets sing of love's romance, the skies are blue above. Moonbeams bring love dreams, and spring seems to call. Hearts that are tender, quickly surrender. When you hear the tinkle, tinkle of the wedding chime, modest eyes with love light twinkle, all the world's in rhyme. Though we're only made of China, youth must have its fling. And to love our
by this time, the name of Agar on a song meant something, and many of Tin Pan Alley's foremost publishers were keen to tie him up on contract. However, Milton thought otherwise and continued as a most successful freelance. In 1926, the world's best-selling book was Michael Arlen's The Green Hat. If you wanted to be in the swim, you simply had to read that book. Discussing it with lyric writer Jack Yellen one day, Milton said,
"Say, Jack, this author, Michael Arlen, must be piling up a whole heap of royalties. Wherever you go, it's a case of, have you read The Green Hat?"
Yeah, and I hear tell it's scheduled to be dramatized and turned into a stage production.
Is that so? Should have hit possibilities, too. Pity it couldn't be turned into a musical.
No dice. It's too heavy. But wait a minute. That title, The Green Hat. Why not let's write a song about it?
A song?
Sure.
Maybe it's an idea. Let's get a work on it.
And those two boys did. Result? Another bestseller. But this time in the pop song field. Their song was in your green hat.
In your green hat, you're beautiful, the best red guy in town. In your green hat, you're wonderful, from your shingle top all the way down.
You're like a fashion show, from head to toe.
What a figure, what a face, and what a shadow. With your green hat, you're simply marvelous.
That old number was one of the really big dance successes of the day. Maybe its success decided the boys to get together as a team. One day, Sol Bornstein, music publisher, called the boys to his office.
And that's the proposition in a nutshell. I figure, boys, that there's a fortune waiting for you in the music business, and there's no better method of capitalizing on it than becoming your own publishers.
One thing, Jack, we'd get it both ways then.
I guess we would, both from the royalty angle and straight-out sales.
Of course you would. I can handle the business end of things and look after all finance.
While we'd be free to go right ahead turning out songs.
Sure you would. Well, what's the verdict, boys?
Sounds good to me. Me too. Let's get cracking.
And so the famous music business of Agar, Yellen, and Bornstein came into being. A very prosperous one, too. Shortly after this, the young firm came up with another smash. That pop ballad of other days, I Wonder What's Become of Sally.
I wonder what's become of Sally, that old gal of mine. The sun shines missing from our alley ever since the day now. Please send her home to me. I'll always welcome back my Sally, that old gal of
After this, the boys really got into their stride and turned out barrel loads of hits.
Sophie Tucker, that beloved and world-famous star, had all her special lyrics written by Jack Yellen.
Correct. And, naturally enough, when Sophie went into the talkies to do a picture called Honky Tonk,
Agar and Yellen wrote the hits for her.
Right again. One I particularly recall from that talkie was, I'm Doing What I'm Doing for Love. But to do that song justice, you simply had to have Sophie Tucker sing it. So we'll pass that one up. And in its stead, revive that grand old favorite, Ain't She Sweet, an Agar Yellen smash in 1927, an Agar Yellen hit today.
Ain't she sweet? See her coming down the street.
Ain't she sweet? Ain't she nice? Look her over once or twice. Now I ask you very confidentially, ain't she nice? Just cast your eye in her direction, for me or mine. Ain't she perfection? And finally I repeat, don't you think she's kind of neat? Now I ask you very confidentially, ain't she sweet?
Other hits to come from the prolific pen of Milton Ager were
Who Cares?
Alf Peterson.
Ain't That a Grand and Glorious Feeling?
Hard-Hearted Hannah. There were many more, too. But one of his best came to light when the world's leading maestro of the day, Paul Whiteman, went to Hollywood to make his first talkie, The King of Jazz. Whiteman said to Ager,
Milton.
Yes, Paul.
In giving you the assignment to write most of the songs for my talkie, I expect big things.
I'll try and not let you down, Paul.
I know that, son. Otherwise, I wouldn't have selected you to the exclusion of so many other great writers. But in addition to the lighter songs, I want one outstanding better type of number. And Milton...
Yes, Maestro?
You're gonna write it.
And sure enough, he did. For the star production number of that epic film was Milton Ager's Song of the Dawn, a fitting and perfect climax to the story of this songwriter. The finale of the Milton Ager story. The artists reviving his many hit tunes and memories were Keith Hudson, Don Moore, John Storr, Kenrick Hudson, Max Blake, Eula Parker and her parquettes, and William Laird and his melodeons. Your compere was John Morgan. Orchestra and chorus under the baton of William Flynn. With a Song in My Heart was produced by Alfred Potter and scripted and directed by Jack O'Hagan.